All right, welcome back to the program. We'll get to Zachy Bailey from Channel 9 very shortly. Before we do that, the first of the text messages here. Jimmy, when did you join the Parramatta Eels in an official capacity? You seem to be very knowledgeable as to what Gutho was told about the club's recruitment strategy. Why no outrage when the club brought in Mitch Rein when Reid Marnie was there? Let's face it, the Eels sell papers and get clicks, and the media need to find stories about them. Good old-fashioned beat-up and an attempt to derail the club. That comes in from Webby. So I'm referring to the Michael Chamis article that appeared in the Sydney Morning Herald. I think it is today. Might have been yesterday. It's today. But the sources from the Eels actually admit that they are looking for someone. So the source not named actually says yes, but we're not looking for someone to force him out of the number one jersey. So that's where it comes from, Webby. So the source confirmed that. Anyway, let's get to the sources of Zach Bailey from Channel 9. He is a regular on a Monday. He's on the line. G'day, Zachy.
G'day, Jimmy. How are you?
Mate, I'm really well. I like talking about King Gutho and what's going on at the Eels. But as reported by, well, indirectly, your colleague Michael Chamis at Nine Newspapers, I don't see it as a bad option. Isn't it the whole thing with Joseph Swalehi and rugby that if you go there and you're worried about the big signing coming in, that you just have to be better?
That's true. Yeah, I can definitely see that. I think the interesting way, because, you know, I've got mates, group chats and all that kind of stuff. When it was on Nine yesterday, halftime of the footy coverage, they couldn't believe what they were hearing. And I totally, totally get that perspective. And the reason why is because, I mean, even the other night, it was a really, really tight game. I think Clint Gutherson got man of the match. And he may not be the most explosive fullback in terms of, you know, summer stuff with Latrell Mitchell and Tom Trbojevic do. He may not have that kind of flair. But one thing he does is, like, he is dead set the heart and soul of that Parramatta team. And he saves more tries than he'll score or set up. And the best example of that was the other night with James Fisher-Harris, you know, one of the biggest, most damaging props in the game, and put a grubber through, which was also wild scenes. And he just stopped him single-handedly. But I think, without having the exact knowledge of what happens with these discussions with Gutho and his management, potentially, or Brad Arthur, is that they do want someone there moving forward. I don't think, personally, Clint Gutherson is going to finish his career as a fullback. One, the way he's played the game and, you know, puts his body into all these collisions and situations and attacks everything. And, you know, he's one of those players that leaves everything out there. Sorry, he leaves nothing out there. He's got one gear and it's just go. I think he'll finish his career in the centres. So potentially they're trying to get someone in there to, you know, get ready for that move. I'm not saying it's going to happen anytime soon, but maybe 2 years, Clint Gutherson's a centre, not a fullback. So it's an interesting one in terms of if they get a signing now, do they move him straight away? I don't know if that's the best move. But moving forward, I can see how they want another fullback in their system to move him to a position where he doesn't have to do as much work.
Yeah, and that's the other thing about it too. The brilliant fullback that we're talking about, they don't just grow on trees. So if you look at the elite level, and we're looking at Trbojevic, Mitchell, Tedesco probably at the top of that, Pappenhausen, I would include in that. And you'd probably include, I wouldn't include Swalehi, but I would include Manu. Well, Manu's locked up, so he's not going to be going to the Eels, I wouldn't have thought. So that makes it very interesting. But I agree with you. I don't know whether it's centre. It could be hooker. I reckon Clint Gutherson could make a fist of playing hooker.
You reckon Gutho's going to end up as a hooker?
No, I don't think he's going to end up as a hooker, but he's not going to be a half or a 5/8 because they've got those two guys signed up for long-term deals on high-paying contracts. Yep. But if it's not fullback, and I look at what Gutho brings to a team, I think hooker. And then, you know, that may never happen, but it'd be an interesting experiment. Interesting experiment, I would have thought. What about the Dragons management, mate? I can't help but think, and we talked about it yesterday, Jaleesa and James Magnuson and I, when they run out the players now, it's human nature. They've got an excuse, and the excuse is, well, the board doesn't think the coach is good enough. And that's what we saw in that second half yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, firstly, the news when it came out last week that and again, it was leaked by someone at the club, and this is how a lot of these stories get out. The fact that the board had told Anthony Griffin, you're going to have to reapply for your job that isn't currently vacant, but we're going to look at other potential candidates moving forward. I mean, the timing of that was out of the players' control, so I feel sorry for them. The next day I was down there, jamming Blake Laurie and players, just going, hang on a minute, like you're the players here that have to front up and answer these questions and deal with these distractions when someone that's paid to be on a board or whether it's CEO or not, have made these decisions to tell Anthony Griffin, and they're not fronting up to the questions. Like, in my opinion, someone should explain that decision if it's been leaked. Now, whether it's Ryan Webb's decision himself, but he's the CEO, he probably should have fronted up in that scenario. But it does. I mean, the players, they even said they're over all the ongoing talks about their coach's position, and they do want to win footy games, but it's a real worrying sign when they dish up a second half like they did yesterday, and you're a fan of the club, and there's been talk for the last couple of years about whether he's the right man to lead the club forward. I personally don't see how it's going to end in a positive way for Anthony Griffin, and if they keep, if they keep suffering losses, and this season goes pear-shaped, the question is, when do you pull the trigger?
Yeah,
because I'm like, what's Anthony Griffin going to say if he has to front up and go in front of the board and go, hey, here's my proposal as why I should be the coach moving forward. Like, unless they win 8, 9, 10 games on the trot, as the players say they have to do to basically save him, then I can't see it ending well for him.
What chance the incumbent that's been asked to apply actually gets the job? I'm saying 1,000,000 to 1, but anyway, they might be a little bit better than that. We'll have to wait and see. I just think it's just a horrible situation. You make an excellent point. Ryan Webb, you've made the decision whether the leak is right or not, front up and answer the questions, not the players. Now, end of the season, it looks like we're going to see some international footy. It's talked about a Four Nations tournament again. We had Mal Meninga on the throwdown for the first time last Thursday and asked him the question, when are the Kangaroos playing? He said, don't know when it's. So maybe we're getting some clarity around that.
Well, I've only seen the article that you're referring to today in the Sydney Morning Herald. And firstly, I thought, how good is this? Like, we had such a good World Cup last year, and there were so many good storylines part of that, like especially the Samoa team making all the way through the final. And this latest concept that it's going to be a potential triple header over at Eden Park. Well, I was there when Tonga beat Australia for the first time back in 2019, and it was one of the greatest sporting experiences live I've been to. And in our job, Jimmy, we are so lucky to witness, whether it's Origins or Grand Finals or whether it's other sports or whatever, but like just the whole cultural aspect of it. I love my international footy for that, because it's more than, like, it's a whole week in the build up, and we get behind the scenes kind of access into some of the hymns they do, whether the Fijian guys or whether it's the Sipi Taus and the Hakas that the other nations like Tonga and Samoa do. So this is great news if it comes off, and I hope it does for the game. The one thing I will say is that I just wish there was a window in the middle of the season where we got to see more international rugby league, because the more of it, the better. And I know it's a busy schedule, and the NRL, will try and do their best to try and implement it somewhere, I guess, moving forward. But I think it's a great idea.
Well, there was. Now it's gone. But anyway, yeah. Joseph Swalehi, he's signed for 2024. So he's a chance to go on that spring tour. And $1.6 million is the rumoured amount. No clarification on that. Explain to me why, in your opinion, or you might think the other way, this is a good buy for Rugby Australia.
Well, I don't know if it is, Jimmy. Tom will tell. The one thing I will say is, like, and it was none of his doing, and I guess we all play a role as media, is that there's never been a more hyped up player before they've played a professional game of rugby league in the history of the game than Joseph Suoli. I think, going back through the records. And I feel like, yes, he has shown some elements of what he can bring. And, like, he could be one of the all-time greats, whether it's in rugby or rugby league. But we've only seen, like, glimpses of it. We haven't seen him put it together week on
week, you know, game after game, big moments, etc. So I feel like the money right now is, a lot of it is on potential, which we do see these days, a lot of contracts, you know, oh, but he's not worth that. Well, he might be by the time he gets there in a couple of years. So it's a very divisive decision in terms of, you know, is it money well spent? We don't know yet. Firstly, good on Joseph backing yourself. There's going to be a lot of expectation and pressure on him to perform. Selfishly, I would have loved to have seen him stay in rugby league longer. I don't think this will be the last of him in rugby league. You know, he'll still be a young man, essentially, when his Rugby Australia deal ends in a few years. But, yeah, like, good on... The old school, like, you know, I'm going to play one code for my whole life. I think we're going to see that less and less with these superior athletes. I think there's going to be temptations, whether it's money or, like, they're driven not by just money. Like, Joseph Suli'i, he might end up going, you know, to Rugby Australia, playing for the Tars. He might go and play French rugby. He might play Japanese rugby. He might end up back in the NRL. If he wants to do all that, if he wants to try his hand at the NFL, go for it. You know, I just want to see these players test themselves to the absolute, you know, nth degree. Just do whatever you can, try and accomplish as many goals throughout your short career as possible, and hopefully he has all the success in the world.
Yeah, absolutely. And to all those people saying, oh, $1.6 million is too much money, it is when you look at it through an NRL lens, but we're not. It's you're comparing apples with oranges. It's a completely different market that Rugby Australia are looking through. So that's what I think.
Just a quick one. I was out interviewing Manly players this morning, and we said, well, do you fear that the Rugby Australia rate of the NRL is going to continue with Tolu Kola? There was talk there that Eddie Jones wants to try and get him across, you know, for 800 grand or whatever. And Brad Parker said, I think the game and Manly should do everything in their power to keep a player like that in the game. So don't worry, like, clubs and players, they're wary of Rugby Australia. But again, if a player has, whether it's the money that talks or whether it's opportunity to play for the Wallabies and, you know, travel the world playing rugby in a way, more so than the opportunities you get in rugby league, then those factors will come into the player's decision. So it's going to be interesting, this renewed battle between rugby and rugby league, now that Eddie Jones is back at the helm of the Wallabies.
Ah, you might have got to the heart of it right there. We're going to speak to Stirling Mortlock next hour, get his thoughts on all of those topics. Good on you, Zachy. Thank you again. We'll speak next Monday.
Thanks, Jimmy.
Zach Bailey there from Channel 9, absolutely outstanding. So fantastic getting. Guess what? We're late for the news. Right. So we'll get to the news after that. We're back with What's Trending with Coach Key.